Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to episode 5 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, available on iTunes and at eggchasers.com. I'm Tim with the usual squad of JB and Phil as well.
Hello, Tim. Hello, Egg Chasers.
Hi, Tim.
Phil, you're looking ridiculously grizzly at the minute. That beard is chevalesque.
I've got a French training top as well that JB kindly bought me. And when I'm wearing that for training, I have been...
It looks like you've been to Anglesey for 3 weeks.
I have been likened to Cheval.
Right then, so on the agenda this week, it's away from the domestic competitions and into Europe. Could it be the last year of European competition as we've had it as well? So here's a quick question to kick us off then. Can you name something more pointless than the Amlin Challenge Cup? JB.
Gavin Henson's stint at Saracens.
Five games?
Two games. One half game outside centre, I think.
Wow. Phil?
An Australian tight head.
Very good.
That's very strong. I was going to say scrum caps on backs.
Yeah, that's pretty pointless.
But just away from rugby as well, the second half of the countdown clock.
Ah,
what is the point in that?
Did you have that pre-chambered, like pre-loaded somewhere in your back pocket?
I had that ready.
That's very good.
I kept my powder dry. While we're on the subject of Europe, you will be seeing, if you haven't seen already, the pictures of all the captains of the teams lined up next to the trophy that they're competing for, be it the Heineken Cup or the Amlin Challenge Cup.
Yeah, some of the captains haven't been following our fashion advice, unfortunately, and they're in full kit, looking lovely, looking like they're about to take the field, except they're wearing trainers. And there's a few notable guys. Leo Cullen for Leinster is the only one in the Irish quartet.
Leo Cullen in trainers is not a good look.
No.
And why are they standing in the streets in full kit? If you're going to advertise a rugby tournament, why don't you do it on a rugby pitch?
It wasn't even outside an iconic Irish building, was it? It was just like outside. It was outside the Café Rouge.
Well, talking of Café Rouge, what exactly are the French team doing?
Replicating the Beatles?
There's too many of them in the wrong city.
What JB and Phil are talking about there is basically the iconic shot of the Beatles crossing on the zebra crossing outside the Abbey Road studios. You've got French captains walking across, so there's too many of them.
Are these the captains?
I don't know.
Because James Hook,
and Joe Alabd is one of the players as well.
He's a pretty introvert kind of guy.
Might be a stand-in. It does bring something else to the attention, James Hook particularly. Most of the French captains are wearing athletics trainers, like running trainers, but James Hook's wearing some white plimsolls, and it looks even worse than the rest of them.
I think that's what the kids wear now.
Something like that.
Oh, dear.
And then the England and Wales picture in the Millennium Stadium. Have you spotted the trainers? There's only one captain.
Let's have a look.
Who's wearing them?
Is that Alan Wynne-Jones?
No, I think Wynne Jones. No, I think they're like forwards boots.
Yeah, doing those really clunky.
Far right hand side.
Oh, Nick Abendanen.
Yeah, Benders.
Benders. Wow.
Good spot, Phil. Well done, you.
The one that's most confusing for me, I think, is it Kellogg and Laidlaw on a bike in a velodrome?
Yes. Nothing makes me want to watch European rugby more than two guys, Scots on bikes in a velodrome wearing trainers on, sitting awkwardly and wearing ugly Macron kit.
Oh, yeah, that gets us to another point. The Glasgow Warriors advert for their new kit, it says at the top of it, what is it? Designed in Glasgow, made by Macron.
I haven't seen that.
Could anything be less appealing?
Glasgow, fantastic.
Maybe designed in Kosovo, made by
Skoda.
Yeah, made by Fruit of the Loom, possibly. Listen, if you want to see the pictures we're referring to, they will be found at Rugby Podcast if you're on Twitter, or at eggchasers.com, our website, where you can always get in touch. And on that note, I just want to say thank you very much for listening so far. We've been doing this for a month now, and you know, people like yourself clicking on the podcast and giving it a listen actually got us a top five spot in the UK podcast charts in the sports category, which was a bit mind-blowing, to be honest. So we're finding our way. We'll get there. So keep telling us what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Just a few hellos. Tom Kopp, Nick West, Mike Hickman, Gary Brett, Adam Thieker, Gabriella Saper, some of the latest people to subscribe at iTunes. Let's crack on with the next one then. So we've talked about Europe. We'll touch on that briefly when it comes to the fixtures a bit later. But what a weekend just gone in the Aviva Premiership. What caught your eye, JB?
I have to go with something which is a little bit more unusual. Did anyone see Topsiojo's kick?
I did, yeah.
Oh, my word. Like, you don't assume, if you look at like a very lean, athletic winger, that he's going to find himself in traffic and think, I know what I'll do. A crossfield kick.
Yeah, great kick and a good finish. What was the name?
Alex Lewington.
Lewington.
He was at Nottingham last year.
Was he?
Came through the Tigers Academy.
There's a fair few lads.
Stepped inside then outside of Ben Botica and left him on the floor.
Yeah. Nottingham seems to be producing a fair few lads at the moment coming through.
Well, London Irish have got the connection with Glenn Delaney, the forwards coach, so he's brought quite a few lads from Nottingham.
Is the fly half from Nottingham one of their fly halves?
No, Miles Dorian was from Bedford, but they've gone to the Championship for a lot of their players.
I think who it is.
Which I think might be a subject I'd be interested to touch upon if we talk about funding a bit later on.
I think that's definitely a future podcast topic.
Without a question. Topsiojo's brilliant bit of skill, finished off brilliantly by Alex Lewington, and a win that we didn't predict as well for London Irish.
Which wins did we predict?
Just the obvious ones. We predicted a lot of results that didn't go, but that's the nature of it. So, Phil, what caught your eye over the weekend?
The unstoppable force that is Saracens. They changed 12 out of the starting 15 and still managed to beat Wasps at home, albeit not as comfortably as they have done in recent weeks against other teams. But
classic Wasps game, keeping it tight, but losing.
With Andy Goode.
Wasn't
Andy Goode on the bench? But yeah, Saracens. The strength in depth as well.
They look devastating.
They look awesome.
They do. One thing that caught my eye at the weekend was, and I think it warrants this music, Danny Cipriani tackling.
Yep, he had a great game.
Wow. Is this the new improved DC? There's rumours he's back with Kelly Brook. Maybe he's happier about his love life and everything's falling into place. But due to Nick McLeod's injury, he got that cameo against Wasps and led them to victory. And now he's led them to another victory at home to Bath. And putting in some a big defensive performance, which we're not used to seeing.
Yeah,
from Danny Cipriani.
When he was playing at Rebels, didn't he get hidden on the wing or at fullback?
In defensive,
defensively, because they were just targeting.
That would make sense because Sale have got experience with hiding fly halves. Yeah, because they used to do exactly the same thing with Hodgson, popcorn to fullback.
He's had more than a few dodgy times, and I confess, I thought that's it. Sharks will be shot of him if they can over the summer.
Thing is, if they did, I don't see him getting anyone better. I mean,
but it's just a question of you're obviously paying a premium for Danny Cipriani for what he can do, but last season he didn't do it.
I think what you're paying for is his professionalism and dedication. I think that's basically what the premium gets you.
There was an interview with him probably earlier this year where he said he still wants to work towards playing for England again.
There's no reason why he can't. I mean,
do you think that could be feasible?
It was last management that didn't like him, nothing to do this lot.
Interestingly, though, Stuart Lancaster's whole philosophy about rugby, and I agree, I think he's got a part to play if he gets his head down, but Stuart Lancaster, his whole philosophy is that it's about the people and the collective togetherness of a squad. It's not about individual skill, it's about the right characters, and he's all about the right, and I think that's why he chose Chris Robshaw as the captain. It's like, we need someone who's actually...
I thought they kind of picked Chris Robshaw because it's the best of a bad bunch.
No, well, he was new to the England team, relatively speaking, wasn't he? But he was just the right...
I don't think there's any real leaders in that team.
He had two caps when he was named captain, I think.
So let's talk about the Premiership for a second then, because five out of the six matches at the weekend ended within 7 points.
Yeah.
There was a draw, There was four losing bonus points, and there was just Exeter who got the win comfortably over Gloucester. So here's a question. Is this the best Premiership ever? The bottom team, there isn't like a London Welsh or Rotherham as there has been in the past.
Well, Worcester have lost 5 out of 5, but they have got some solid players.
Yeah, Worcester are a lot stronger than, say, London Welsh last year.
Yeah.
Or even Sale, they look like a much better team.
Agreed. And I think it is. I think it is uniformly across the whole league. The standard is very good. What's slightly concerning is like how few points were scored. Last weekend was good conditions, nice and dry. Only one team exceeded 20 points, and that was Exeter against Gloucester. Every other team finished under 20.
Exeter were the top scoring team last week.
Yeah, last week 29 points.
I did not know that. Just a note from the Exeter game. Have you seen their number 8?
Dave Ewers.
What a hero.
Born in
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, yeah.
I'm going to put together a Zimbabwe team because I've got a feeling that Mugabe's made a massive error here. If he knew how good the Zimbabwe team would have been, he'd left those farmers well alone.
The one area of concern for me is the way that maybe, yes, it's more condensed in the middle and towards the bottom, but when you look at Saracens, Leicester, Northampton, I'm pretty confident the winner is going to come from one of them.
Yeah,
oh, but
agreed.
I saw Bath on Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know, they flatter to deceive from time to time again. At home, when they kind of want to, they'll turn it on and then...
And Gloucester at the start of the season, we were expecting big things from Gloucester. They've done nothing.
Nothing
but
at all.
But, you know, they could potentially ignite.
I agree with you, Cocker. The top three will be Saracens, Leicester, Northampton.
We're not Mark Quato thinks all that. anyway.
Well, no, that's really interesting. Yeah, quite right, JB. Mark Quato, who looks rejuvenated at Sale Sharks, he's come out and said that the Premiership salary cap is being ignored and it's blatantly obvious to everyone in rugby that some people aren't sticking to it. This is the words of Mark Quato. I'm not saying all, but certainly a couple.
Yeah.
And the fact that some people have mentioned a couple of clubs, Mark Quato said, players know players. We've all got friends at other clubs. We all know what sort of money players are on. London Irish director of rugby Brian Smith in January said some teams are clearly cheating the salary cap. And then the chairman of Northampton Saints said, I think there are probably a couple of teams cheating the salary cap. And then the director of Premiership Rugby has come out and said they have no information to suggest any clubs are ignoring it.
That suggests that the kind of accounting behind this is not very transparent. If they've got no information to suggest that it is happening, it suggests that they just don't have all of the information.
Yeah, obviously we've got to be careful legally here, but again, purely our own opinion. Well, how can we put this so we can't...
They've all been cheating, that's all.
I don't think some of them have the money to cheat.
Which clubs are you very impressed by the quality of the squad they managed to fit into the salary cap?
The obvious two are Saracens and Leicester.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Theoretically, is there anything to stop, say, a corporate company which has close links with a club paying someone a consultancy fee to do maybe a few days' work at a very high rate
exactly.
or whatever?
Yeah, and like attend functions, handshakes.
Or maybe employ their wife as a liaison.
I don't know, because it's a very grey area. Players are allowed to get external sponsorship. So if you're representing a local business, surely that's just another form of local sponsorship.
And exactly. Why,
whichever club is best equipped to do that for their players, why not allow it? If local businesses are gaining something out of it, the players are gaining something, the club's gaining something.
The whole purpose of the salary cap and controlling it is to create a level playing field where there's the maximum amount of competitiveness between the teams. And I suppose it's worked to a degree because we're talking about a league where anyone can beat anyone. But we're also talking about a league where there are a couple of haves and...
Yeah, but there's also a league where a lot of the teams are still not turning a profit.
Yeah, a few years ago, I'm sure it was only Northampton and Leicester that made a profit. I don't think so.
Exeter Chiefs have as well.
Okay.
Tied into the factor of funding is this thing that was brought in recently where clubs are allowed a marquee player. I don't know what the actual term is. No, they're not called a marquee player.
It's a player excluded from the salary cap.
They're allowed one player excluded from the salary cap, which doesn't have to be made public, neither the wages they're on or who it is.
And compete with the French clubs.
It'll be purely wild speculation on our part. We don't know. We're purely speculating.
That Saracens are cheats.
No, shut
up. We're not speculating that. No, the Saracens aren't cheats.
We're just wildly speculating as to who the marquee players might be for each club. So, Phil, you know what the rules and regulations on this are?
Yeah, so they've got to nominate one player to be excluded from the salary cap.
Hang on. So if you get the marquee player, he doesn't count towards your...
He could be £4 million on his own.
Yeah.
Would you be able to fund it?
Got you.
So the player he's got to meet one of three criteria. That is either he's got to be a player of the club for at least two full salary cap years prior to the year in which he's nominated. He has not been a player of any other Viva Premiership club during the previous salary cap year, or he was selected and included in a national playing squad of any country participating in Rugby World Cup 2011.
So reading between the lines there as well, they're trying to stop each other. They're trying to bring talent in. It's there to bring a big name in from outside the Premiership,
but not from
a competitor.
Or hold on to a big name who they've got who might be getting poached.
For example, someone who was in an international squad.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go down alphabetically then. So Bath.
Yeah. A few people jump out. Francois Lowe.
That would be my shout. French clubs would be all over him. He's got 30 caps for South Africa, played in the match at the weekend.
Yeah, starting in the South African back row.
Which, by the way, one of the best games I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, we could have a whole section on that game. That was incredible.
We'll go for Francois Lowe as our pick for Bath as a possible marquee player. I looked at Exeter and went, I don't reckon they have one. Just more, not because they don't have any big names, but more because I just think, I could imagine Rob Baxter just going, no, we're not the sort of club that has one person.
Hey, and everyone and even...
Yeah. What about Dean Mum?
Dean Mum would be the...
He would be the obvious shout.
Yeah, the man that I'd say is most likely to.
Or Kerry Sweeney. It was a toss-up between those two.
How old is Kerry Sweeney?
32.
No. I think we'll go Dean Mum there. Okay. Harlequins.
I thought we were going alphabetically.
Is that not right?
Gloucester.
It doesn't matter. Do Harlequins.
G. Gloucester. Gloucester. See, this one I find quite tricky.
Cowan.
Yeah.
Or Ben Morgan. Ben Morgan on because they paid £100,000 to move him from Llanelli.
Mike Tindall a few years ago might have been commander. Yeah. Not anymore.
Not so much now.
I think he's just happy to be there.
His house is in the area. Zara's living there.
He's got some horses.
They can hang around Tetbury on their horses. Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Acapusi Quera, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Quera.
What a player.
Fantastic player.
Gloucester's a tricky one. Harlequins, I think it's just, let's just say Nick Evans, shall we, and move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that this rule was made for Nick Evans.
Yeah, pretty much. London Irish.
I've actually left it blank, so that's why.
We touched on it. You look at the recruitment they made, massive amount of it from the Championship. Guy who's been starting at loose head prop, Matt Parr. Nick Rouse's been starting in the second row. Alex Lewington's had game time on the wing. Eamon Sheridan, they got from Rotherham. He's been starting in the centre.
Do you have some sort of inside track to this one, though, Steve?
Jeb Sinclair.
Yeah.
He's still there. Didn't he play for RCG at one point?
Did he really?
I'm sure he might have been one of the Canadians.
The team which I support, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
I look at that and kind of go, actually, I don't know if they're spending the salary cap.
Probably
potentially not. Because they brought in Ian Gough. They had the money to bring in Ian Gough.
Yeah, there's a good chance that they're not.
Leicester.
There's a few.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's more than a few.
There's no actual standout players.
Tuilagi.
Yeah,
that
player.
Yeah, okay.
So, Tuilagi then, maybe.
Jordan Crean is the kind of person who thinks he should be on. He should be the excluded player, but I don't think he is.
No, I've been
He's just on that. His battle with Sam Dickinson at the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Demonstrated. I think they're both the same age, both English number eights, and Jordan Crane's got eight caps for England, and Sam Dickinson looked 10 times better, making yards, getting over the game line every time, dynamic, big hits.
I think that's a demonstration again of how the top players in the Championship can just slot straight in the Premiership. I know Sam Dickinson had some problems with injury last year, but he'd come from Rotherham, making a really big impact.
I imagine if you're a forward in the Championship or a prop, it's a pretty tough place to be.
Yeah,
it's a great place to get some grounding. You learn the trade.
You'll know, Cocker. I think the average size of the forwards in the Championship is as big, if not bigger, than in the Premiership. It's just they're slightly less dynamic.
And I think front row scrummaging. I can remember seeing Dan Cole have a couple of challenging afternoons playing tight end for Bedford and for Nottingham.
Yeah.
Didn't have it all his own way because there's some gnarly wise old front rowers.
Streetwise.
Go up against that Alan Paver, the Cornish Pirates prop. You're in for a tough day at the office. So moving on then. So that's Leicester taken care of. Northampton. George North.
Has to be.
That's what the salary cap's for. That's what the marquee player slots for, surely, right? Come from another league.
Most likely.
Which moves us on to Newcastle. Mike Blair from France.
I don't know what it is about Newcastle, I just find them completely uninspiring.
Two away wins shows a bit of dog in that
team. Happy to be away from Newcastle, though.
Yeah, exactly. Just delighted. When you watch those games in Kingston Park, you think, oh, I just want to turn it off.
Mike Blair, I think's most likely again.
Yeah, Saracens.
Oh, okay. So
take your pick, yeah. Chris Ashton.
On my notes here, I've just put down. God knows, it could have gone with any of the South Africans.
Loads, possibly.
So we've got Wasps and Worcester then. Wasps.
Wasps.
Haskell to get him back.
Haskell is a good shout, or Ashley Johnson maybe. Ashley Johnson's not that good. Why would you?
Oh, he is.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, he's a South African international.
Well,
he's a
third choice South African international. That's probably why he moved.
He's got a massive ass, like pure power in that core. In that core, if farmers bred humans to eat, he would be what you'd want. Nice to get a bit of rump off that and shove it on the
Brian
barbie.
Beef on there.
I think a lot more props might be getting this than we've given so far. Which leaves us with Worcester. Are they spending their salary cap?
Mirez.
Yeah, Jonathan Thomas.
Jonathan Thomas.
He's a great player.
Yes, actually, that's a good shout. Captain as well.
Yeah.
Actually, can I just pick... I think this is one interesting thing when we're talking about funding, right? So I think there's one issue which needs to be sorted out by the RFU. There are some clubs which are getting screwed over, as I see it. People with good academies, but maybe not the big financial muscle of other clubs. If you're a club who produce homegrown academy players and you put them in your matchday squad, you get £30,000 per player to a maximum, I think, £250,000. So that's a really big incentive to get your academy players into the first team.
Yeah, so that's part of the salary cap, isn't it?
Well, that's additional.
Oh, that's additional. To
that's
the
additional from the RFU. It's like a reward. It's like an it's incentivising teams bringing through academy players into their first team.
Because there's another incentive as well.
Yeah.
I was reading an article by Peter Jackson in the Rugby
English
paper.
English qualified.
Yeah, so last season there was a £2 million pot for teams that had more than 65% of their matchday squad on average as homegrown, English qualified players rather than homegrown. And that pot has gone up to £3 million now. So last season Harlequins got something like £450,000 because they had the highest percentage of English qualified talent.
Almost all of them except for Nick Evans.
There's a team that's really benefiting from the system. What about London Irish? Imagine you are London Irish. You have, I'll just take one example. You have Alex Corbisiero. You get £30,000 towards his salary because he's come through the academy into the first team. You also get money because he's an English qualified player, as you mentioned. And also you'd be compensated when he's an England international, having come through. So you're getting three different strands of money for Alex Corbisiero, who then leaves to go to a club which has more financial muscle. You then lose Alex Corbisiero. You lose the £30,000 academy, you lose the English qualified player money, and you are left with a pot of money far smaller than you were able to pay Alex Corbisiero to replace him.
Yeah. And you also lose his image rights from rapping too.
Oh, let's have a bit of Corbisiero rapping at this point. That's a good shout, Jay.
Yeah. Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Thomas Street, Thomas Wright, I don't deny it. Test me, try it, style you don't
so
buy
of...
it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to
that
fly it. Up high, grab the mic and make you cry.
Talk,
I told you before we represent
L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this.
So sick, I tell
you can buy this. There's Alex Corbisiero. So Northampton sign a great prop. They get the English qualified money. They get the RFU money to compensate him being an international. And London Irish have a hole in their squad and less money than they had. And when you add to that the Armitage brothers, Jonathan Joseph, Matt Garby, Jamie Gibson, David Ceci, Alex Gray, Adam Thompson, Alex Corbisiero, and there's others that I've not even remembered. They've produced some amazing young English players.
On the downside, at least they've got Geraghty back.
Yeah, well, they're glad about that one. So I think the system's kind of screwing it. And my solution would be you keep some of those academy credits after a player leaves.
Yeah
that's absolutely right.
Yeah, I think that's a good... That point about Corbisiero gets me onto something that I was going to mention in the Sick Note 15, which is a bit of a conspiracy theory. Brian Smith last season, springtime last year, came out and said that Corbisiero had a degenerative knee injury that was potentially career-threatening.
Wow!
Corbisiero, shortly after that, disputed it and said, no, it's not at all. And like since then, he's gone on to play for the Lions and signed for Northampton. So perhaps Brian Smith was saying that, trying to... basically put people off buying his star player and retain all of those additional credits.
Again, we are...
speculating at best.
Speculating, and
Phil made it clear that was a fact.
I'm sure Brian Smith, if he was here to defend himself, would probably do just that. But an interesting thought, anyway, Phil.
Well, Brian Smith is always welcome.
He is.
Yeah. So
you're always welcome. Right, I reckon before you mentioned the sick note 15, I reckon we should get into our sick note 15. We're going to do that in a second. But I reckon before that, we've got another rugby player singing today. Although I should say we've got another, not got another rugby player. We've got another example of a rugby player singing, because it was Ben Foden last week. And we've got another example of Ben Foden singing. Him singing with his Mrs. Una. I don't know what the song is, but it's called Higher. Here's Ben Foden.
It is cheesy, but that's what we do, isn't it?
All right, OK, you cheese it up.
What you doing, Ben?
I'm doing nothing. Because there at least I'm doing nothing wrong. Yeah. I'm going to stare on my own and turn off my telephone. Nothing's gained, nothing's won. But when I speak, listen, this is my decision. And you keep on messing up the words. So when I speak, listen, girls, you keep on pushing like I need.
Ben Foden.
I feel positively amorous now.
I came across an interesting little fact about Ben Foden, that when he was at Sale, he got the nickname Pop Idol because he missed. It was either a training session or a game to audition for what was Pop Idol back in the day.
So not a celebrity edition, so like actual Pop Idol.
What?
Not like a celebrity edition, the actual Pop Idol, because no one would know
Ben
Foden is insane.
This was like 2004, 2005.
When he was coming through with Philippe Saint-André at the helm and whatever it was at the time.
So yeah, it wasn't the celebrity Pop Idol.
That's a great bit of knowledge, Phil. Certainly worthy of a knowledge bomb. Ben, is that for real? Knowledge.
I believe so.
Wow. So we go from Ben Foden singing. Incidentally, that will be online at eggchasers.com, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Get in touch and have your say and get involved. And in fact, I want you to do just that on this that we're about to do now. It's the Dream Team. This is so called because we'll wake up out of a dreamlike slumber and then come up with a stupid topic to pick a 15 on. Phil came up with Sick Note 15. Is this something personal, Phil? Because you're a bit of a sick note yourself.
I've had a few injuries in my time. I'm currently still injured. As it stands, 15 out of the last 36 months I've been sidelined for.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
So this 15 is the Sick Note 15. Pretty self-explanatory. We'll go 1 to 15. If you disagree or think there's another person more deserving of the shirt, as I say, get in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com, where you'll be able to find the 15. And number one, I bet we all agree on this one.
Go on.
Gethin Jenkins. He played at the weekend, Gethin Jenkins.
Did he?
Yeah, for the first time in a long time. That'll be his game for this year.
No, I'm going with Sylvain Morkinet. He went skiing 6 weeks before a World Cup, broke his leg and missed the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's fantastic. Are you allowed to do stuff like that?
If you're an aloof Frenchman, I don't think you care.
I thought the contracts had that all covered up.
He was probably skiing while smoking with a glass of wine.
One of the lads I play with a few weeks ago, saw him in the gym on Monday night, saw him at training on Tuesday night, and he was on crutches because he'd been playing five-a-side football on the Monday night, gone over on his ankle.
Have that, Sedgley.
There's a couple of other loose heads.
Go on.
Go on.
Corby Sierra, as mentioned before.
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet.
There we go, sorry.
But also, another England prop who has also had some musical indulgence in the past as well.
Oh, right, I see where you're going.
Andrew Sheridan.
Oh, no.
What? Oh, yeah.
He released an album.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to get some.
2010 acoustic rock album called Where We Go From Here.
Toulon.
Yes, which was exactly where he went the year after. But four operations in 2 years, three shoulder operations, bicep, broken ankle, bad back, bad neck, all kinds of stuff.
Was that from was the bad back from carrying bricks from his other hobby?
He did.
Bricklayer, and he's also a carpenter.
Here is Andrew Sheridan.
But you don't like the way that we live. I sweated blood and I sweated tears.
How strong are those guitar strings?
Steel cables.
all the hurtful things that you said.
Wow. I've kind of got respect for a man that can sound that tender when he's singing and yet bench press four grown men.
Can we see the artist? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, Andrew Sheridan's a good shout. And again, Sale have had a few players that they just got they got terrible deals out of. They never got their money's worth out of Andrew Sheridan.
Well, I mean, back to the...
In the last couple of years.
Can any of those loose heads play tight head?
Gethin
Jenkins can.
It's not a sick note, but no, I'm not going to say you and Murray's missed a lot of games.
Religious, say it. Go for religious it. Reasons.
That's not a sick note.
It's pretty much the same. Like this school kid going into the PE teacher's office saying, "Sir, I can't play because God tells me not to."
Well, I thought you were going to say about the kid who went. No. He was a massive World War II fanatic and went in a Hitler costume. He went back to his mum, said we're having a World War II day at school, and he said to his mum, "I want to be Hitler," and his mum got him a full on Hitler outfit. He went into school, got sent home, and he got told to go to the toilet and wash the moustache off. Wow. So we don't have a tight head, so let's just slot Gethin in at tight head then.
Unless anyone can suggest something better, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter.
Yes, or eggchasers.com. Hooker.
I've got one, but it's a code switch. Paul Wood.
Oh, yes.
Warrington Wolves, grand final last year, ruptured his testicle, played on for 20 minutes before he got taken off. Had it removed the following week.
Well, he also had a quote saying, "When I came out of hospital, I felt something was missing." Or something like that.
Into the second row, can I suggest another Sale Sharks? Terrible value.
Oh, I know
they got
going.
Out of Brent Cobain.
Yeah.
The water carrier. That's all you ever saw him doing was with the little H2O bib on. Most expensive water carrier in world rugby.
I've got one for you. Ospreys James King, who managed to rip off his ear on someone else's shorts.
How is that possible?
Don't know, ask James King. Also shares his name with a film critic, so I thought that
yeah, that's good.
That was
good on both counts.
We had someone on Twitter, Steve Braddock on Twitter, mention Ali Williams.
He did indeed.
Who had a series of long-running Achilles problems, and I believe he went to Nottingham.
He did.
To find
part
some,
of his recovery.
Yeah, 6 months to find some form.
About 6 months before he then played and won a World Cup. Cobain Williams, axis.
Yeah,
happy with that.
Fine. Back row then.
Chris Mulcahy, not because he was injured, but because of an injury-related story. So I thought there's only one way to get it in, to shoehorn him in. In the top 14, a linesman was hit after someone tackled the opposition into the linesman, resulting in Chris Mulcahy running the line for the second half.
That was brilliant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so honourable mention to Mulcahy. I'd put him at 7, unless anyone's got a better 7.
Lewis Moody.
Ooh.
Lewis Moody, a proper sick note.
Yeah.
The man's just a complete body wreck.
When he was playing, he was Mad Dog Moody.
Yeah.
Fearless, total disregard for his own body. And now he's being interviewed and he's very concerned about the damage that concussion's done and all that kind of thing. So he's really backtracked on his...
Well, if anyone's got concussion and damage from it, it's him.
His carefree attitude's coming back to haunt him, unfortunately.
Any other flankers?
Joe Worsley. Again, another person. Didn't he get his scrotum raked out by Jason Leonard, Paul Wood style? What I've heard is that he was on the floor, and this demonstrates pure pain. Because Joe Worsley, one of the hardest rugby players that there is, was. He was saying, "I want my dad. I want my dad." You've got a grown man, British Lion, England international, crying for his dad.
I've got a friend of a friend who once climbed up a flagpole and slid down. And do you know the things, the hooks, like the double-ended hooks? Which you... anyway, you know where this is going.
That reminds me of a story a few years ago, playing at Newbury, actually. Last game of the season. Our hooker went down injured, went over on his ankle and was shouting, "Major pain! Major pain!" So we were going on a night out afterward, like an end of season booze afterwards, and he got made to be Major Pain, like an army Major Pain, and he could dish out drinks all day.
Brilliant. That's our Sedgley Park role. I reckon one that's the opposite, a back row that's the opposite of a sick note, is Imanol Arunordiki, because Wayne Rooney recently has had that gash on his head and that stupid little contraption. Do you remember the mask that Arunordiki wore? It was like a scuba mask.
Yeah,
it was incredible. He played on with a proper broken up face. Dan Ward Smith, I feel sorry for as a sick note. The guy should have got an England cap.
Yeah.
Oh,
would have got an England
one
cap.
One for you, Chris Birch. Remember him?
Nope.
No.
It's Chris Birch. Second team flanker for Strad Meinach.
Why didn't you say?
Chris Birch.
Yeah.
Chris Birch was a 19 stone flanker. Went to the gym and tried.
I know the story.
Oh, God, I think I know this one as well.
Tried to do a backflip and ended up slightly unconscious. Daily Mail headline was 19 stone rugby player wakes up gay
and becomes a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Right, so Chris Birch, God bless him. Has lost, I think, 10 stone, quit his job in the bank, and is now a hairdresser living with his boyfriend. So, Chris Birch, best of luck.
Wow.
Nothing to do with him waking up gay after giving himself a stroke by doing,
the backflip. The best part about that is the backflip. He's a 19 stone man doing a backflip.
What was he thinking?
But purely the fact that he, like you say, he was a 19 stone flanker doing a backflip and gave himself a stroke. The fact that he then woke up as gay and became a hairdresser and gave up on rugby.
That's just a bonus. That's just an added bonus.
That's incidental. But oh, wow, that's incredible.
I wonder if you can get him on the show.
Halfbacks then.
More backs for us.
Oh, go on. Come on then, Phil.
Another Sale player who they didn't quite get value for money.
Jason White.
Henry Fury.
Oh, yeah. Shrek.
Yeah, save Shrek. mentioned last week.
Save Shrek.
Tom Croft's got to be mentioned because he's so injury prone. Played only a handful of games last season with a broken vertebrae. Second game this season.
In the season?
Yeah, so another 6 months out.
He always manages to time it really well, though, doesn't he? There's a World Cup coming up. Yeah. All right, I'll be fit for that. Go on then.
Yeah, come back for all the major tournaments. Schalk Berger, he's got to get a mention for the last 18 months, which is it's absolutely awful. Injured his, I think it was his knee initially, had problems with his calf, then had surgery for a system that was pressing on his spine, and when in hospital contracted bacterial meningitis.
Oh my God.
And so, yeah, incredible misfortune. So after 18 months, I think last weekend or 2 weeks ago, he played his first match back, played 20 minutes on the bench in the Currie Cup. And so he's still only 30. He's got 68 caps, been out for 18 months.
That's some outstanding back rows there. Halfbacks, I think we all know what 10's going to be. Come on, let's just give Johnny Wilkinson a 10 shirt.
I think so.
Captain?
He's the man wearing the shirt. Dan Carter's got to get an honourable mention. And he seems to only play for New Zealand these days.
Yep.
He reasonably famously went to Perpignan on a 6 month contract, played 5 games, ruptured his Achilles tendon after that. And so, what was the highest paid player? Played 5 games on a £600,000 contract.
What about 9?
Well, just one more 10. Another honourable mention for Quade Cooper, simply because of his sidestep against no one where he ruptured his crew shirt against Wales in the World Cup. No one touched him. He did a flamboyant sidestep and collapsed.
Quade Cooper?
All right, then, into the centres. I do like this quote from Tom Shanklin, who was forever injured for Wales. He said, this is a great quote, "I'm not injury prone. I just get injured more regularly than other people."
I struggled for centres.
Andy Farrell,
how can
maybe?
You struggle for centres? You can go Shanklin and Henson if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Henson as well. But Andy Farrell, he was like, he barely stubbed a toe as a rugby league player. He stepped into the union code and he was never fit.
It's a tough game, Tim. It's a tough game.
I'm sure there'll be some more suggestions you'll come up with. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Back three.
From the world of rugby league.
Is this going to be another obscure one?
No, John Wilkin. Suffered nerve damage whilst gardening.
WeirdRugbyInjuries.com.
Yeah, so there is actually a website for this.
Morgan Stoddart, the fullback.
Was that career threatening?
Yeah, he had that horrific broken leg after which. And Warren Gatland never strikes me as the sort of person who'd sort of. He's quite a hard man, isn't he? Warren Gatland said after Morgan Stoddart basically had his leg snapped in half, he said, this is a direct quote, "You've got a feel for him. We always joked about him and called him glass and crystal."
Oh, God.
Well, I hope he recovers quickly.
Well, I think Gatland's a fine one to talk after falling off a ladder and fracturing both of his heels.
Oh, my God, yeah, coach.
Yeah,
director of rugby, Gats.
Definite coach. Matthew Tate.
Yes.
Got years out injured. Again, yeah. Sale didn't really get the money's worth.
No. Oh, my God. Sale Sharks.
Poor.
Wasted. Yeah. They got such bad value out of so many players.
What are they doing to them? Another one. back three, your fullback, Juan Martin Hernandez.
Oh, yes.
Best looking man in world rugby. That's me done.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com.
Wait, I have one more.
Oh, come on then.
Maybe the best sick note of all time. A team sick note when, as you well know, the Manly Merlins had to play a team called Norths, showed up with 7 players. The rest were hungover.
This is top flight.
No, this is level 4 in Sydney, Sydney, Australia.
Oh wow.
The captain's stag was the night before, and as a result, they got kicked out of grade 4 rugby in Sydney.
Wow.
So team sick notes.
That has reminded me of something else, actually, a team incident. I think it was Russia, Romania, World Cup qualifier like 15 years ago. I can't remember which way round it was, but one of the teams was accused of drugging the whole of the other team, putting sedatives in the water.
Wasn't that the argument in when South Africa won the World Cup in South Africa?
That was food poisoning, wasn't it? Alleged
food poisoning.
Food poisoning, but yeah, the Russian one, there's definitely something happened, or something was alleged.
Wow. So we have our 15 at eggchasers.com, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, and have your say. I'll tell you what, one thing I want to do, because I think this is quite interesting. I was stood on halfway between the two dugouts, match announcing at the Sale Sharks versus Bath match at the AJ Bell Stadium. Mm. It took about, by the way, with that new stadium name, it took everyone about 2 minutes to come up with the question, which is the Bell End. And it's the end where the away fans go, actually. It's the AJ Bell End is the one where all the away fans are. Anyway, I was stood next to one chap from BT Sport who was handing Sarah Elgin a bottle of the bubbly that's awarded to the man of the match that got awarded to Danny Cipriani. And I took a picture of it, the bottle, because I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to find out what vintage it was? So I have found out what the man of the match bottle, the Aviva Premiership man of the match bottle of champers is. I've put a picture of it at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can also have a look at eggchasers.com. I'll put the picture there. But let me tell you, gents, I need some French music for this. It is a 1551 Codonui Raventos. Actually, I don't know why I'm doing a French word, because it's Spanish. It's actually, I'm doing that. It's not champagne at all. It's cava.
What?
It's cava. It's not champagne. Champagne is from a particular region in France. It's a sparkling wine, you have to call it. From Catalonia. Codonui Raventos. And it's a brut with a brilliant straw yellow colour and fine, delicate and persistent bubbles.
Sounds delicious.
Intense aromas of pineapples and stone fruit, plus more classic citrus and apple. On the palate, it has a creamy texture, a good body with a persistent mouthfeel. Guess the cost of a bottle of Plonk for the man of the match,
well,
in the Aviva Premiership.
Top level sport, £70.
£10.99.
Wow. It is actually cheaper. It's actually cheaper than the Super League equivalents.
I love the Super League equivalent.
The Super
equivalent.
League equivalent are champagne bottles with big soup.
Heinz Big Soup brand bubbly.
Nothing I like more than a freezing Yorkshire night than to be hit by big lumps of vegetables. Warm lumps of vegetables.
Spraying that round the shop. Pouring that in the Super League trophy or the Super League cup.
To be honest, I reckon after a night on the beers, the Wigan Warriors were probably spraying vegetables everywhere come about 3 a.m, weren't they? Right, I reckon, looking ahead to the fact that we've got the European matches coming up, but we've also got, just beyond that, the Autumn Internationals on the way. Just a quick question then. Any guys that you might have seen in the Aviva Premiership matches so far, England guys, that are just off the radar that you reckon could make a late charge and maybe make a squad, maybe the Saxons with a view to being an England international in the next year?
Burrell, just because of his form.
Oh, yeah.
Not only his form, but also look at who the current England centres are. Barrett and Tuolagi are both out for the
whole, not dissimilar to either of them.
Yeah. He's really developed his game since from Leeds and Sale with Northampton. He can offload.
There's very stiff competition in the centre.
Who would you pick, England centres, if you were Stuart Lancaster and picking a team for this weekend? Who would it be?
I reckon 36 has got to be in there.
Mm. Yeah, he's done all right.
Whether you could move Burrell to outside centre, very much in the Tuolagi role, or whether you'd be better playing someone like Joseph or Tompkins.
Where do you place Kyle Eastmond in all this?
I like Eastmond. I think his distribution is very good, and his footwork second to none besides Christian Wade in young English
backs. And he plays at 12 too.
Yeah, playing at 12.
The guy we mentioned before, under the radar, and I'd love to see him on a big stage, is Ewers.
Dave well, Ewers. You say Dave Ewers, Exeter Chiefs, number eight. What, he can truck the ball up, can't he?
Can't he just?
Yeah, and back row, there could potentially be...
Sam Dickinson?
A position open, mm-hmm. because Rob Shaw's injured, although we're not sure exactly how... as this goes out, I'm not sure how long it...
I think had he stayed fit, in fact, a potential for a sick note 15 just in the last couple of years, Carl Ferns, had he stayed fit, I think he could have been challenging for an England spot.
Yeah.
Billy Vunipola will be... I think he should be starting at eight for England in the autumn internationals.
Here's my sleeper off the radar, although after a really good performance at the weekend, I think a lot more people have are sitting up and taking notice. But the last couple of years, watching Tommy Taylor up close, I think he's ready for Saxons, and he would be a really good like a really good third hooker, bright future.
Very good. Others on the wing, Johnny May might get an opportunity.
If he loses the cycling shorts, I think Johnny May's ready for international rugby.
Yeah.
Isn't that a... requisite of playing for Gloucester, though. Like Tyndall always does it.
Yeah, but you don't need the ones that go right down to your knees.
Sharples does it.
Sharples does do it. Yeah, it's been the Gloucester back three. You've got to be balding or wear like long shorts.
James Simpson Daniel should have been in the 6.
James Simpson.
Oh God,
that was suggested on Twitter. That, gents, is a podcast. That is episode 5 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. JB, Phil, nice one.
Cheers, Tim.
Cheers, Tim.
And eggchasers.com, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. Subscribe and I'll make sure the next one gets delivered straight to you. Should we have Ben Foden singing us out?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's do it.
What you doing, Ben?
I'm doing nothing. Cause there at least I'm doing nothing wrong. Yeah. I'm gonna stay here on my own and turn off my telephone. Nothing's gained and nothing's won.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.